Hi, Wastelanders. I'm Sean Barrett, your host, and with me is Cody Barrett, my co-host. Say hello.
No.
No?
No.
Too tired to say hello today?
Yes.
All right. Well, fine. Welcome to the Utopian Wasteland. Thanks for joining us today. So, I should preface this episode by saying...
Preface away.
Thank you. I'm going to preface this episode. He may be a little slap happy today. He's kind of tired. Going to preface this episode by saying that Cody and I are originally from the northern plains of the U.S., and that is farm country. I mean, we were in a city, but the city that we lived in was surrounded by farm country, and so agriculture was a big part of our relatives, a lot of our family friends, and just becomes a part of life even when you live in the city. So we got to see up close a lot of the changes that have already been happening in the heartland. So let's do a little history here. In 1900, the population of the United States was about 40% urban, and the majority was rural at 60%. Wow, am I boring you already?
I'm sorry, you said let's talk history, and so yeah. I fell asleep. Well, not ready for a history lesson.
Well, it's short and it's important. Okay, so going back to 1900, without his snoring... 40% of the United States was urban, okay? Only 40%. The majority lived in rural areas, including small towns, but also mostly on farms. And that was 60%. Today, it's the other way around. In the United States, 80% of Americans live in urban areas, major cities, and only 20% still live in urban areas. So our urban areas are shrinking a lot. The average age of farmers in the United States today is 58, and that number is slowly getting older. So why is this important? Well, looking at the whole world, the trend kind of is continuing. Around the world, the split is 57.3% urban, 42% rural, and that's shifting more and more urban as well. Urban populations are growing, and rural populations are shrinking. Everywhere on earth. So what that says to me is that young people are leaving the rural farm areas and moving to cities, and they're going there for more job opportunities. And you know, I've been watching some shows about different parts of Asia. Larger cities are growing really fast, and still there, rural areas, farming areas are shrinking. So in time, the question is, who's going to be left to grow our food? You know, if the average age of farmers is already 58, that means that in 20 years, if there aren't enough young people replacing them, there may not be farmers.
Mm-hmm. Where is this going?
Where this is going is that it could be robots to the rescue. So this is one of those episodes we're going to be...
A little bit more perky?
Way more positive about the effect that artificial intelligence and robotics will have on our future lives.
Mm-hmm.
This is good stuff, simply because farming populations are already shrinking. Just as AI and robotics have impacted the job market overall, they are impacting the world of farming too. John Deere Tractor Company has introduced some of its fully autonomous tractors at the 2025 Consumer Electronics Show. A fully autonomous tractor. You don't have to sit in it at all. You teach it where it needs to go in the field, and it just goes. And then you, as a farmer, can go do other things. John Deere's goal is to have fully automated farming by 2030, their whole line. So far, their tractors can be driven like a normal tractor or programmed to work on their own. But they have concept vehicles with no human cab at all. Basically, they're just farm robots that can do all the field work while the farmer is either taking care of livestock or working in the office to track different things. I mean, there's a lot involved in farming that, you know, if you've never been a farmer, you don't realize just how in-depth it really is and how much you have to know, especially today.
Does Farming Simulator count?
It does kind of, you know, honestly, you know, from what I've seen of Farming Simulator, it kind of shows you a lot of the things that are involved.
I played a bit of Farming Simulator.
Well, see, there you go. It's a good start.
Except I don't think it allows you to plow other people's lands.
Probably not. No, not unless you're renting it from them. Now, NVIDIA, a company that we're going to be talking about a bit more in some future podcasts, they're getting very involved in artificial intelligence. making chips and parts that are AI specific.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and they're getting involved with a number of other companies too. But they've been working directly with John Deere on their AI driven systems. So, I mean, this is a big deal. Yeah. Well, self-driving tractors, robot tractors. So there you go. John Deere is just one of the companies, though, that's exploring self-driving tractors and also electric tractors. They're getting away from the diesel-operated tractors.
Okay.
Kubota and Case International Harvester have tractors that are electric and also have self-driving capabilities. Around the world, robot tractors are popping up, too. Companies like FarmDroid. I love that name. That's maybe my new favorite name for a farm robot company, FarmDroid. I mean, it gets right to the point. And then there's...
Fair enough.
Then there's Horschwitz, you know. I'm not... I think that's a family name.
Probably.
And Combined Powers is another one of them. They're all testing robot tractors with no cab at all for humans to ride in. They're just robot tractors.
You know, I do have to say this is probably the most weirdest thing and yet probably the most practical thing we're going to need.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it is true. There's a lot of people just getting away from farmland and trying to go to bigger cities because that's where the money is.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's, you know, where you can afford to live.
Right. I mean, even in just my time growing up in the Northern Plains, I saw a lot of family farms sell out to other farmers. And so where somebody was maybe farming 100 acres, now the person who bought their land is farming closer to 1,000 acres.
Right.
You know, but some of it's because technology has improved. Tractors have gotten bigger. They can pull wider implements behind them. Right. You know, there's been a lot to it.
Also, with a name like FarmDroid, you honestly, that really does just get straight to the point.
Yeah.
I like that. Just
there's no question about what they do.
Right. Unlike Anthropic.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like we're going to make fun of Anthropic.
I know you are, for sure. I think Anthropic.
I loves you.
You're doing
amazing things.
But he doesn't understand.
Please fix your name.
Anyway, so going back to farm tractors.
Sorry.
Back to farm tractors. Okay. There are additional kinds of farm robots that aren't tractors. They're going to be upset with us, but we'll, you know.
We'll praise
them. We've got a lot of great things to say about them, really.
Yeah, we do. I just don't like the name.
I know. I kind of like it myself. I think it's interesting, but that's all right.
Agree to disagree.
Okay, farm tractors, though.
Farm tractors.
And now just farm robots in general. They've got some coming soon that can pick fruit, and actually some of these are already in use. So it's not just things that are developing. Some of these are actually production models that they've been using for some years already.
Okay.
So they've got them that can pick fruit, pull weeds, or burn them with a laser. They can like target in and burn just the weeds so you don't have to use any herbicide chemicals.
That can be dangerous.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. They can fertilize plants. Well, sure it can, but you know, it's just there to burn the plant, hopefully. So don't go out in the field with it. They can fertilize plants individually. They can move huge potted plants, you know, like when they're growing trees or large things, things that they needed a forklift for.
Mm-hmm.
They can pick up hard to work with vegetables like lettuce, or they can pick them. And this is one of those things that they didn't think they'd be able to replace humans because it's kind of delicate knowing how to pick lettuce without damaging it.
Right.
And they've now got a robot that can do it. So a lot of the manual farm labor that they're having to hire migrant farmers for, even that's going away. You worked in a blueberry field years ago.
Years ago, yes.
Hand picking, and I have seen things where they're figuring out how to pick things like that. I saw a robot the other day that can go into a vineyard and carefully pick grapes off of the vines. So a lot of the human jobs in farming are disappearing, which kind of surprises me that they're getting them that can work that delicately. So as we see, these farm robots are a game changer.
Ribbits.
These farm robots are a game changer and
an
absolute
frog robot?
Yeah, yeah. If they got a frog robot, it's a ribbit. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, they're a game changer and the absolute replacement for the aging farm population. A farmer could have, theoretically, a tractor go to do field work while they're working on other projects around the farm. Yeah, it's going to replace jobs. But we're already seeing this as a recurring theme across all of these fields and pardon the pun on fields, across all the different kinds of jobs that exist out there.
Right.
In time, this may replace family farms altogether, but I think mostly that's going to happen through attrition over time as the aging population of farms gets too old to work anymore and younger people just aren't taking over the farm.
Right.
Expense, though, is also a problem. Now, brace yourself on these prices. And this is what the real world of what farmers currently are paying. John Deere's most expensive tractor right now is... How much would you guess a really high-end tractor is? And this is the one with that doubles with the self-driving capability.
But I want to assume it's really $500,000.
It's $1 million.
Oh!
Yeah, it is $1 million. Even their small ones can be in the $30,000 range. And that's like small tractors. So, yeah, farming is incredibly expensive. That's why most of the farmers around the world, certainly American farmers, are in debt so heavily to bring food to all of us every day. And if you're somebody who thinks food comes from the grocery store, no, it came from the farmers first, and then it went to the grocery store, just to clarify.
No, it 100% magically appeared just with magically a flick of a wrist.
It's so sad. I've actually seen interviews with people saying, well, what do we need farmers for? I just get my food from the grocery store. I mean, it makes my head hurt and my heart hurt that people actually think that, but there are people who think that.
We won't go down that topic.
Yeah. So, anyway, as much as you'd like to. Big picture. More and more tech experts are saying that we are fast approaching a time when most jobs are done by robots or computers or other automation, as we've already talked about in previous podcasts. However, there will still be people that need to eat. Humanity's not going to just disappear overnight. We still need to be fed. As we said before in a previous one, Elon Musk has said that a universal high income provided by the government will be essential. He also mentioned that food production may become so cheap that maybe no one will even have to pay for food. Well, I think that's going to have to be through a government-controlled program for distribution. You know, somebody's got to get paid somewhere. So we'll see how this comes out. Perhaps one of the answers to this will be fully automated farming. I mean, say theoretically the government owns the tractors and produces the food for everybody, then the food is free. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to come up with. But we'll talk about that more in our further discussion. If you're listening in on the podcast, you might want to join us as a patron on Patreon. We have an additional, kind of like a podcast, that we do just for video, just on Patreon, that we'll be doing right after this, talking a little more in depth. So yeah, this could in fact end the family farm as we know it, but I really think that's inevitable. I've been seeing the populations of a lot of rural areas shrinking each decade. Each time that there's a census done, it's getting old, the population's getting older and smaller. So this is just happening. Perhaps it'll become a system where certain families operate under a government contract or something to produce food for the population using mostly robots and AI. You know, maybe keep some of these family farmers who really know what they're doing, keep them employed, but they'll work directly for the government, maybe. I don't know how they're going to do this. That's discussion for more economic-minded people. A single family with the right robotic equipment could handle the same amount of cropland that used to be farmed by hundreds of families, theoretically. And, of course, what we talked about here today is just a part of the changes and improvements that are being developed in food production. We'll talk about so many changes. We'll talk about this in some other podcasts, but there's a lot of innovations that I've been seeing come down the line. Ideas like urban rooftop farming, We've got acres and acres and acres of blank rooftops in cities that they could reinforce and start growing food on the top of them. And they've already experimented with this in places, and it works really, really well.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, why waste all that space? Right now, it's wasted space. It's just a blank rooftop. Reformat it to start growing food, and then you sell the food really close, so you'd cut down on transport costs. It becomes much simpler. At the very least, that what they've been doing is starting community gardens on some of these rooftops. So everybody gets their own little plot. They can plant some vegetables and stuff that they like and supplement their normal food that they need.
Huh.
Cool idea, isn't it? There's also the idea of farming skyscrapers. Imagine a really tall building and every layer of it is just growing food with LED lighting inside or
like
some
a
sort of
hydroponics.
Well, and
type thing.
Can be hydroponics, but it doesn't always have to be. They could be just growing in dirt. So,
true.
And that's another thing, hydroponic and aquaponic farming.
Right.
Aquaponic being a combination of hydroponic vegetables growing and the water cycles around, and the other pools are things like tilapia fish or certain kinds of shrimp that can be raised that way. The waste from the fish cycles over to the hydroponic and fertilizes the plants and filters it and cleans it, and then it goes back into the fish. So you've got two food sources right there. And these are just the beginning of some of the ideas that I've seen out there. There's a lot more, a lot of ideas coming up that can bring farming to urban areas so that you don't have to transport food hundreds and even thousands of miles to your local grocery store if it can be grown locally.
Right.
Really cool stuff. So, anyway, that's it for this episode. That's what I've got for today. Cody and I are going to discuss some of this stuff in the further discussion video that we'll make next. If you're interested in that, again, check us out on Patreon. We thank you for joining us today. Please keep listening. We really appreciate you being here and listening.
Or don't.
That's up to you. But, you know, ignore him. Please keep listening. People need to know this stuff. If you like this podcast, please tell other people and encourage them to listen. Start having conversations about this. Everyone really needs to know this, and it's not being talked about enough. There's a lot of changes going on out there that are going to affect every one of us.
Let us preface it again. Conversations, not arguments.
Yeah.
Conversations.
Have civil conversations, please. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you prefer to get your podcasts, or wherever we have it posted. I know we're on Spotify and iHeartRadio. Are we on anything else yet? Do you know?
I don't think we're even on iHeartRadio yet.
Oh.
I still haven't been able to figure that out.
Okay, well, we're at least on Spotify and we're on YouTube.
Oh, God. I wish they made it easier.
Without paying a bunch of money every month. Maybe we'll have to do that. We'll see. Anyway, if you like what you're doing, what we are doing, and you'd
like
you us,
like what you're
if
doing.
You like what you're doing. If you like what we're doing and you'd like us help to... Wow. If you want to help us make more of this stuff, he's confusing me. You can help us out by becoming a patron on Patreon for as low as $5 a month.
That's low as what?
$5 a month. That's right. Just $5 a month, less than the cup of coffee from your local Buc-ee's. And you...
Okay.
And you can help us.
Okay. Buc-ee's and Starbucks, because there's already a Buc-ee's.
Well, that's true. I guess there is. Okay, wherever you like to get your coffee, this is even cheaper. And only once a month. Patreon patrons do get exclusive stuff. You get to see some extra videos at the $5 level. Starting at the $10 level, you get a little bit of merch every quarter. And the merch gets better the more you paid. We even have a millionaire and billionaire challenge. So if you know somebody really rich, have them check us out. We need the help. Yeah, I'd really love to stop doing my regular job as much and put a lot more time into this for both of us.
And I'd like to have a job.
Yeah, well, you maybe have one.
Oh, yeah.
He's been job hunting. So, anyway, we're also going to be on social media and all those sorts of things. All of the links can be found on utopianwasteland.com, including the link to our Patreon. And, of course, we're on YouTube. Just look for the Utopian Wasteland channel. All of our videos are there.
I apologize for not having a script for today. I forgot to say that at the beginning of the video.
Oh. Yeah, you were going to have a script for today, weren't you?
Yeah.
Well, that's all right.
You know, life kind of hits you in the butt. And...
Yeah, it really does. He's got his own script that he's working on. We're going to kind of switch roles, and he's going to talk about some video game industry stuff.
Well, we're still going to have what you're going to talk about. It's just I'm going to have a slight segment.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah,
you just want a part of it? So I got to have like a short one, and then you're going to have a short thing. Yeah. Something like that. All right. There's more to come. We're working on more podcasts. So thank you for joining us. Please support us if you feel like it. That'd be fantastic. And until our next episode, remember, you can ignore technology, but it won't ignore you.